Well, this morning we're going to be following on from what we began talking about last week, in that we're thinking a little bit more about what the church is here for. And as it's Gathering Sunday, I wanted to ask, first of all, why do we gather together as a church? Now, as you're thinking about that, I've got a few things on this table that go together. Okay? So what I need you to do is to think. I'm going to have a bag full of other items, and what we're going to do is see if you can match the pairs. These things should go together. Now, I've got about eight items on this table, so I need eight young people, if you wouldn't mind, coming up the front and helping me to match these pairs, okay? So we're going to have some willing volunteers at the back, okay? Hope you come. Yep, Johnny and Guy at the front. Yep, if you want to come up too, Ben. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. A couple more. Yeah, Bethan. Okay, and someone can pick two. Right, fantastic. Now, what I need you to do, let's go for girl, one of the girls first. Naomi, you've got to match the pairs. What does that go with? Hold it up nice and high so people can go to. Minnie and Mickey, they go together, don't they? Well done. If you'd like to just put them on the floor down there, that would be great. Thank you very much. Now, who should we go for next? Ben, do you want to pick out an item? Do it with your eyes closed. Okay, now what does a dustpan go with? It goes with a brush. Fantastic. Okay. Daniel, what do you reckon? Okay. Right, we've got a spade there, and that goes together with a bucket. A bucket and spade. You need a bucket and spade if you're going to go to the beach, don't you? One goes with the other. Okay, Johnny, what are we going to go for? Oh, some butter. Some butter. It's not in the fridge. Yeah, it is butter. Hardly been used, look. What does that go together with, Johnny? Just which item are you going to pick? Butter, and it could go with either, actually, couldn't it? What do you reckon? Which is it most likely to go with? Bread, okay, well done, yep, fantastic. Right. William, what do you reckon? Now, what's that, William? Can you tell me?
Pepper.
Okay, what does pepper go together with? Salt and pepper. That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, pop it down on the floor. Three more to go. Right, Guy, what are you going to pick out? Ah, a fork. Glad Johnny picked the bread and the butter. A knife and fork go together, don't they? Okay, two more. One might get caught up in the other. Do you want to take one? What do we reckon? What's that?
A cup.
What does that go together with? A cup and saucer. Fantastic. And last but not least, Bethan. We've got a ball, and that goes together with a bat and a ball. Fantastic. Well done. Thank you all very much. Give yourselves a round of applause. Getting us all right. No mistakes. Okay. Now, each of those pairs, they belong together, don't they? When we think of one, we obviously think of the other, don't we? So much so that one seems a bit incomplete without the other one. You can't have salt without pepper, just as you can't have a dustpan without a brush, or Mickey without Minnie. That just wouldn't be right, would it? And it's the same with the local church and this idea of gathering together. You can't have one without the other. And that was a picture that was taken a few years ago. I tried to find a recent picture, but it wouldn't work on the screen. So that was taken quite a few years ago of a group of us who went away to Sizewell. And a few of you are looking a few years younger there, I can see. There's right motley lot, isn't it? But God, he didn't design us to live as Christians on our own, did he? We're designed to live in community. In fact, immediately after the church began, on the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, we read this. We read that all the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. In other words, Christians belong together. We need each other. And that's why we meet like this every week and in various other ways. And then as Christians, we're also instructed not to give up meeting together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says this. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Now, right there in that verse is one very good reason to meet together. Can anyone tell me what it is? Maybe one of the children. What can you see? What's one very good reason to meet together in that verse? What do you reckon? Ah, Bethan. That's right. We meet together to encourage one another, don't we? You know, if you're having a difficult week, then meeting with others should really lift your spirits and encourage you. And if you're having a good week, then you're needed to help be a blessing to those who perhaps aren't. But you know, to give and receive encouragement is not the only reason that we meet together like this. In last week's sermon, we looked at some of the other reasons. So as a bit of a revision, can anyone tell me why else we meet together? Remembering that we said that the church is Christ's bride, that it is his wife. And we used that word wife, didn't we, as a bit of an acrostic. So what do you think? What are some of the other reasons, apart from encouraging one another, that we need to continue to worship, meet together? Gave you a bit of a clue, didn't I? Okay, what do we reckon the first one is? Worship, of course it's worship. That's right. We said that because of who Jesus is, because he's our creator and he's our saviour, then he deserves all of our worship. We worship him, don't we, together in song and when we pray together. And we remember him also around the communion table, which is what we're going to do a bit later on. That's how we worship the Lord Jesus. Then we gather around to I. What's the next one? What does I stand for? Slightly more tricky. Instruction. That's right. We gather together, don't we, to receive instruction. You know, in the Bible, God has told us everything that we need for salvation, and also he's told us everything that we need to know how to live our lives. And so we meet together, don't we, to meet around God's word and be instructed by it. Then what about F? What does F stand for? Yep. Faith is close. No, it's close. I can hear some other voices. Fellowship at the back. That's right, fellowship. We join together to be with one another, to enjoy fellowship. You know, whether that's in big groups or in small groups. We gather, don't we, to share our lives with one another, to pray for each other, and to help each other in 101 different practical ways. So we enjoy fellowship together. That's another reason. Okay, fourthly and finally, what do we reckon E stands for? Yeah? What do we reckon over here? You had to have been here last week. Evangelism, that's right. The Bible tells us that we need to engage in evangelism. And that's all about letting our friends and our family know, and people who we work with and perhaps we go to school with, let them know about Jesus, about his love for them, and about the fact that he wants to save them. We're to be engaging in evangelism. And so we gather together as a church for all of these different reasons. And they're really all as important as one another. But I think that last one, evangelism, stands out. Because, you know, it's slightly different from all the rest. You know, if you are a Christian, then when you finally leave this earth, when you finally go to be with the Lord in heaven, then, you know, you will continue to worship him there. You'll continue to be instructed and enjoy fellowship. But there won't be any more opportunities to evangelize. There won't be any more opportunities to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're told in God's word to make the most of every opportunity that we have to share the good news. Share the good news that Jesus saves while we're still here on earth. So how do we do that? Well, you know, we can't do that sitting here in this building within these four walls. Instead, we need to go out and do that. We can't expect the unsaved to just come in, can we? We need to go out to them, as it were. So we've seen what a gathered church looks like. And in a moment or two, we'll see what a scattered church looks like. But first of all, we're going to stand and sing number 179. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere. Okay, now did you know that no matter how involved you might be in the life and the ministry of the church, no matter how often you might attend and be here at meetings, it's estimated that we each only really spend 2 to 5% of our lives gathered in various ways as a church body. Now, 2 to 5% of your life is not very long at all, is it? Some of you may be letting out a sigh of relief at this point, at this statistic. After all, as the old saying goes, to dwell above with the saints we love, that really will be glory. To dwell below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. It's sometimes not very easy being together, is it? Even for 2% of our lives. But it is very valuable. If we're going to spend so much of our time, the other 98% scattered about throughout this world. And it's actually a good thing that we do spend so much of our time doing things that take us away from this particular church building. Being with other people who don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Because then we're able to let them see the advantages of living a life that pleases God. And we're able to share the good news that Jesus loves them and that he wants to save them. So how do we do that? How do we witness to others? Well, you know, there are two main ways that I want us to think about this morning. First of all, we can witness to others, firstly by our lives, and secondly by our lips. So how do we witness by our lives? Well, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 tells the believer this. I wonder if we can all read it together. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's a wonderful verse, isn't it? As we go out into the world, as people listen to what we say, and as they watch how we act and behave, you know, the light of Jesus needs to be reflected in us. It's not much use calling ourselves a Christian, is it? And then telling people that he's changed our lives if they can't actually see a difference in our lives. If we remain selfish and unloving, perhaps. Instead, people need to see that when we follow Jesus, he really does make a positive difference in our lives. So, for example, if you're a kid and you're at school and you see a child, a fellow schoolmate, walking through the playground at break time, and they're on their own, what should you do? Should you just ignore them and think, oh, I'll leave them to get it on with it by themselves? Or should you go up to them and say, hang on a minute, I can see that you haven't got any mates to play with. Well, how about coming and playing with us? We're playing football over here or something like that. What's the right thing to do in that situation, do you think? Let's have one of the children. What do we reckon? Do we go up to them or do we just ignore them? Okay, adults, you're going to have to help. What do we reckon? Oh, Bethan. Great, yeah, go up to them and ask them if you can help them and play with them. Yeah, great. Okay, what about us adults? If perhaps we see someone struggling along at work with a load of boxes that they're carrying, what's the right thing to do? Do we just let them get on with it? Or do we go and help them, open a door for them? What's the right thing to do in that situation, adults? Go and help them, that's right. Yeah, the right thing to do is to go and help them. That's right, yeah. You know, we could be here all morning, couldn't we? Thinking about different ways in which we could help one another. Because there are so many simple things that we can do in our daily life to show others that Jesus loves them. It just takes a little bit of thought and sensitivity from the Holy Spirit. But you know, good actions alone aren't enough if we want people to know about Jesus and the fact that he loves them and that he wants to save them. So as well as living good lives, we also need to use our lips to tell others about him. Romans 10 and verse 14 says this. Let's read this together. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Now that makes sense, doesn't it? How can someone believe on one that they have not heard of? How can they believe in Jesus if they haven't heard about him? They can't really, can they? Very well. Well, with this in mind, I just want to tell you about the story of a man called Hiro Onoda. Hiro Onoda. You see, Onoda was a lieutenant in the Japanese army, and he still believed that he was fighting in the Second World War right up until 1974. Just think of it. 29 years after the war had actually ended, this man didn't realise that peace had been declared, that the war was over. So how did he not know? Well, Onoda was situated on a remote island in the Philippines. And although on several occasions come home letters had been dropped from the air, no one had actually bothered to go to him and tell him during all of that time, no one had bothered to go and tell him in person that the war was finally over. Now that's an amazing, but it's a true story. And you know, I think that's there's a lesson for us in that for us as Christians. Because, you know, boys and girls, men and women, they need to hear that the war with sin and death is over. That Jesus has won and that he wants to rescue them and give them eternal life. And, you know, the best way that we can tell people about this good news is to do it face to face. We often refer to it as friendship evangelism, don't we? As we seek to get alongside others and tell them about our faith. Now, by way of encouragement, just going back to that story of this Japanese soldier, you know, it wasn't until a young college dropout named Suzuki decided to travel to the Philippines and actually find and talk to Onoda that he was finally persuaded that the war was well and truly over. It took that one young man, Suzuki, to get up and go and speak to Onoda face to face before he would believe. And you know, we each face a similar task in our Christian lives. As we go out into a mission field, let's seek to tell people about the God we worship and about the Saviour we follow. This morning we've been thinking about the church gathered and the church scattered. And that's the life cycle, that's the rhythm of church life really, gathering together and then scattering to go out and tell people about the gospel.